I don't know if you're aware, but it's been about 100 years, actually April 15th, I believe, since the Titanic sank 100 years ago. And I want to begin with sharing a story of that day. It's about John Harper. John Harper was aboard the Titanic when she set sail from Southampton, England on her maiden voyage. He was an evangelist originally from Glasgow, Scotland, and he was well known throughout the United Kingdom as a charismatic and passionate speaker who led many to Christ through his gift of preaching. Well, in 1912, Reverend Harper received an invitation to speak at the Moody Church in Chicago. And on April 11th, 1912, he boarded the Titanic. Now, some of the wealthiest people in the world were aboard the Titanic as well. And while many of these passengers were sharing about business deals and acquisitions and material things, John Harper was doing what he did best. He was sharing the love of Christ with others. In fact, his niece recounts seeing John earnestly sharing the gospel with a young Englishman on that fateful evening, April 14th. As passengers were dancing in the ballroom and tried their luck at the card tables, John Harper put his daughter to bed and read his devotions as he did every night. And at 11:40 that night, the Titanic struck an iceberg. The unsinkable, quote, unsinkable ship was doomed. Either in disbelief or unaware at the time, the passengers continued about their activities. It wasn't until the ship's crew sent up a series of distress flares that the passengers realized the seriousness of their situation, and chaos ensued. It all happened so fast. But John Harper's response left a historic example of courage and faith. He awakened his daughter, picked her up, and wrapped her in a blanket before carrying her up to the deck. And there he kissed her goodbye and handed her to a crewman who put her into a lifeboat along with his niece. His daughter would be left an orphan at 6 years of age. Harper then gave his life jacket to a fellow passenger, ending really any chance of his own survival. And firsthand accounts say that he ran up and down the ship, saying, "Women and children and unsaved people into the lifeboats." As sounds of terror and mayhem continued, Harper focused on his God-given purpose. Survivors reported seeing him on the upper deck on his knees with groups of terrified passengers praying for their salvation. Well, at 2:40 p.m., the Titanic disappeared beneath the North Atlantic. And I just remembered I have a picture of John Harper. It left a mushroom-like cloud of smoke and steam above her grave, and tragically, over 1,000 people, including Harper, fighting for their lives in the icy water. Well, he managed to find a piece of floating wreckage to hold on to, and quickly he swam to it. Every person he could find around him, urging them to put their faith in Christ. While death forced others to face the folly of their life's pursuits, John Harper's goal of winning people to Jesus Christ became more vital. Well, 4 years later, a Scotchman rose in a meeting in Hamilton, Canada, and said, "I am a survivor of the Titanic." Said, "When I was drifting alone on a spar that awful night, the tide brought Mr. John Harper of Glasgow, also on a piece of wreck, near me. 'Man,' he said, 'are you saved?' 'No,' I said, 'I'm not.' He replied, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.' The waves bore him away, but strange to say, brought him back a little later, and he said, 'Are you saved now?' 'No,' I said, 'I cannot honestly say that I am.' He said again, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And shortly after, he went down. And there alone in the night, with 2 miles of water under me, I believed. I am John Harper's last convert. Well, tell me, what is it that propels someone to act in such a way? We could think of a lot of maybe answers to that, but the only answer that I can really give is one of love. John Harper loved Jesus, and he loved his fellow man. Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends." These were Jesus' words to his disciples when? On that night, that Last Supper with his disciples, the night that he would be taken captive, the night before he gave his own life for the whole world. And he tells them, "Love each other as I have loved you." These are the words of Jesus. "Love each other as I have loved you." Well, John Harper believed in Jesus, and he followed his example. And I, for one, am in awe of God's love as it's seen in John Harper's life. I thought of this story as I was looking at the life of Paul. We've been looking at how he has started this church. Him and his companion started this church in Thessalonica. And so this story made me think also of the life of Paul. If you remember, we talked last week, Paul and his companions suffered public humiliation, beatings, floggings, shipwrecks. We didn't talk about that, but he mentions that in other places, imprisonment, and many other hardships, all for the sake of bringing the gospel to people like the people in Thessalonica. That's what Paul's life was about. And he gave his life for that completely. Again, the only answer I can find as to why someone would do that is love. Paul also loved Jesus, and he loved his fellow man. And this theme emanates from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. And last week, we explored that theme briefly as one of the things that we touched on in chapter 2. And I want to continue this week. Review a little bit first of last week, one of the verses we looked at. Paul says, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you have become so dear to us." That gives us a picture of how Paul thought about these people in Thessalonica. And if you think about it, Paul didn't know these people at all before he came there. Paul was a Jew. Most of these people were Greeks. And so they really didn't have a whole lot in common necessarily that there would be a friendship. But Paul says here that he deeply cared. "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share the gospel with you. You become so dear to us." So I've been thinking a lot about John Harper and about Paul this week. And I've been wondering, do I love people that much? Do I love people like this? That I would put my life on the line for others. Is that what comes to mind in maybe times of peril like John Harper was in? Makes me wonder what the other people on the ship were doing. With that story, I got a chance to hear that story this past week. By chance, a guy that works at the Titanic Museum in Tennessee. And of course, he told it much better than what I told it this morning. I wanted him to come this morning, but he had to return. And I was talking to him yesterday. He called me, and I was talking to him, and he said, "Well, what church do you attend? What's the denomination?" And I told him. He said, "Well, there was a Mennonite lady on that ship as well." He said, "I forget her name now, but he said she started an orphanage in India. Does anybody know?" Annie Funk, all right. And she was returning home to see her parents who were were passing who were not doing well. And she was also on the Titanic. And so he told me the story of Annie Funk. And he said she was in a lifeboat saw all these women and children coming to try and find places in the life. So she got out of the lifeboat and spent the rest of her time helping women and children get in the lifeboat. And she also went down with the ship. She also went down with the Titanic. Another great story. But I think about these people, the love that they have shown to others, and I think, do I have that kind of love for others that I would care to do something like that for someone else? Do I have the kind of love that Paul had for these Thessalonians or John Harper had for these people on the Titanic? Because really in them we see the love of Jesus, don't we? We see the love of Jesus coming through to other people. This isn't a normal kind of love that we see, but the love of Jesus coming through. So let's look at this letter to the Thessalonians in this light. How do we see Paul's love expressed to them? Well, we reviewed last week in chapter 2, Paul's love for the Thessalonians was expressed, he said, like a gentle mother and a concerned father. Paul loved them like his own children. And think about your children for a moment. He loved the Thessalonians, these people that he had just met, he'd been with them now, got to know them, but had never known them before. He loved them like his own children. Gentle, nurturing them as they grew in their faith, just like a mother would nurture her own children, and supporting them. He supported himself, actually, working day and night so that he wouldn't be a burden to the church, to those people. And like a father, he encouraged them and comforted the Thessalonian believers. He urged them on in their newfound faith. So we see also in chapter 2 already an idea of the love that he had for them. Also at the end of chapter 2, we see that he longed to see them. Paul says that out of their intense longing, they made every effort to see them. And I'm wondering, how many people in your life would you say this about, that you long to see them? I'm sure you would say this about some. Your children probably in particular, if they move off and you haven't had a chance to see them for a while, you might say that about them. But Paul's attitude was this way towards the church. Towards the people in the church, towards other believers. Do you feel that way about each other if you were separated for a time and you long to see those people? We get an idea of the depth of the love that Paul had for them. Would it feel strange for you to describe your thoughts for each other in this way if you look around at each other and say, if you've been separated for some time, that you long to see each other? Well, let's begin in 1 Thessalonians 3 and look at this theme a little deeper. We'll look at verses 1 and 2. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. Well, the first question I have in looking at this is, why were they longing to see the Thessalonian believers? What was it that was on their hearts when they thought of these believers? And really what we see here, the reason that they were longing to see them was to strengthen them in their faith. This is what we care about most deeply with each other. This is what Paul cared about with the Thessalonian believers. We care about other things with people as well. It's not that we don't care about people's health and how they're doing or how their children are, how their family is. But as believers, as fellow believers, this is the area that we care about the most in each other's life. How are you doing with the Lord? How is your walk with God? What is He telling you? What is your experience? How is your spiritual well-being? This is what Paul cared about. They wanted to strengthen and encourage these people in the faith. That's why he wanted to see them so desperately. And if you remember, Paul and Silas and Timothy got chased out of town. They had spent some time teaching them, investing in their lives, spending lots of time with them, and then they got chased out of town quickly. And so They've been separated for a period of time here, and Paul is wondering, how's their faith going? Are they still strong? Are they still making it? His first priority is to make sure that they're growing and flourishing. And he wanted to encourage them to stand strong and understand that, well, we see in this passage, if you look at the next few verses, that Paul was concerned, for one, that his own suffering would be a hindrance to their faith. He was concerned that they might fall away because of seeing the things that Paul and Silas experienced, the difficulties that they were experiencing. So Paul wanted to encourage them to stand strong and understand that suffering is really a normal part of the Christian walk. It's not unusual. It's a normal part. Stay strong. This past week, I had the opportunity to visit a friend who came to the Lord last year. And I hadn't had a chance to talk with her much the past few months. And in particular, I hadn't had a chance to talk with her about her relationship with God. So I got a chance to meet with her this week. And I can really identify with Paul's feelings here, because I had some of the same questions. I wonder how she's doing. Does she have that same zeal and excitement for the Lord that she had when she was baptized? Is she still on fire for God? Is she still on track? And so I was a little anxious to find out. And so I sat down and talked with her for a while, and we started, of course, with the normal conversation about normal chit-chat about how things are and things that were going on in her life. But soon, I took the opportunity to ask the questions that I was really interested in. How are you and God doing? How is your relationship with God? How would you describe it? What's going on? And so for the next 45 minutes, she talked very openly about where she was at in her walk with the Lord and the things that were going well and the things that she was struggling with. And so I had an opportunity to speak directly into her life, to encourage her and to urge her on. And I was also encouraged just to see that she's still on track. She's still growing. She's still following the Lord. Now, that might have been the most important thing that I did this past week. I don't know. It ranks up there probably. It's the kind of thing that we as believers are called to do with each other. That this is the kind of relationship that we're called to have with each other. Not just a relationship that's social and we can enjoy that and have a good time together, but to talk with each other about the things that really matter, those spiritual things that really matter. How are we in our walk with the Lord? And so the question I have for us this morning is, do we care about other believers enough to do this kind of thing, to ask these kinds of questions? And for yourself, I'm wondering, when's the last time that you've asked a question like that of another believer? Where are you at with God? How is it? Tell me how it's going. Or something like that. And for some of you, I'm sure it's been this week that you've had those kinds of conversations with people. But this is what we're called to do, to go deep with people, to talk about, really, to encourage each other and strengthen each other in our faith. So do we care about people enough to do this? Do we love them enough to do this? This is the result of Paul's love. This is what he was concerned about. He was concerned about the most important things in their life. I'm sure he was concerned about other things, but this is what he lists here. And this is really what discipling is all about as well. When we talk about discipling another person, all we're talking about is doing whatever we can do to help somebody else grow in their walk with the Lord, to take that next step, to stay on track. And that could be a variety of things that we might do in order to help somebody in that way. But do we take that kind of interest in our fellow believers? One of my fears sometimes is be that people would come to church and they would walk away each Sunday and maybe never have somebody take that kind of interest in them, to ask those kinds of questions, to really care about them in that way. And so my hope is that each person here has someone that is caring for them in that kind of way. Let's continue on in chapter 3, verse 6. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. Well, as we touched on last week, there is really no greater joy than seeing people that you have led to faith in Christ, to see them grow and flourish. And we see Paul expressing that again here in this passage. Timothy brings back wonderful news about the believers in Thessalonica. Wonderful news about their faith and their love. Their belief is strong. They're standing firm. They have not been shaken. It's the news that Paul was longing to hear, and here he gets this news and is very excited to see that they're standing firm in the faith. And I'm wondering, have you ever thought about your own walk with the Lord and how that affects other people? Have you thought about that? It affects many people around you. As people see you grow and flourish in your walk, it's tremendously encouraging to others around you, especially others who have spent a lot of time investing into your life, whether it's teaching or mentoring or discipling you one-on-one. When they see you grow and take those steps of faith towards the Lord, it's tremendously encouraging to them. So your walk with the Lord affects a lot of people. It's not just you and your walk, but it's affecting believers around you. Their belief was strong, and we see that they loved the Lord. They were continuing in their faith. And even as Paul celebrates their strong faith, we see in verse 10 and 11, he returns once again to his same concern that he might be able to come to them. Why? To supply what is lacking in their faith. He wants to come and teach, continue to teach and train them. Not that they were doing terribly, but the fact is, we're always growing in our walk with the Lord. There's always new things to understand, new understanding of the Lord, new things that He has for us. And so discipleship is a lifelong process. Following the Lord is a lifelong process of learning and growing. We never stop learning and growing. And so even though these Thessalonians were doing great, they had much to learn, and Paul was eager to continue teaching and training them. So back to the question, do you love believers like this? Are you involved in encouraging and strengthening others in the faith? Or do you sometimes think, well, I'm expecting that from other people, but I don't necessarily think I can do that for others? We're all called to do that. I'm sure when Timothy came to them, he preached. He probably met individually with people, having those one-on-one conversations. We see that Paul wasn't there, but he sent a letter to the church. So even though his presence wasn't there, he spoke into their lives just with the letter. There's a lot of different ways that we can encourage each other in their faith. A myriad of ways that we could do that. It could be simply through meeting with somebody for coffee and talking with them and asking those kinds of questions. Could be teaching a Sunday school class. We have teachers out here right now who are investing in the lives of our children. They're teaching them and training them, and their desire is to see them grow in their faith, to grow in their knowledge of God. It could be in a discipling relationship where you're meeting every week and studying the Bible with somebody. There could be a lot of different ways. Maybe it's in small group meetings where you're contributing as a part of a small group. But I'm wondering, how are we doing that with each other? My desire would be to see everyone in this church have someone who loves them enough to regularly ask, how's it going? How are you doing in your walk with the Lord? Listen to Paul's prayer for these Thessalonians at the end of the chapter here, of chapter 3. He says, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Well, this is my prayer for you as well, for all of us. May our love increase and overflow for each other, just as we see Paul's love overflowing for the Thessalonians. Our goal, our hope, our joy is to strengthen and encourage one another so that we will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. This applies to us as well. And so, how is it that we show love to each other? We've seen great examples in John Harper and Paul, and you could name other people, other examples of where you've seen the love of Christ expressed for people. And I want to leave us with Jesus' command. He says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the examples we have of people who have gone before us. People who have lived out your love and have shown it to others. And Lord, I ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning. And Father, if we're not taking the opportunity to help others grow in their walk with you, I pray that we would look around us and take an active role in the lives of believers around us. That we would share your love with them by being willing to get involved in their lives, to speak your word into their lives, to listen to the things that they're struggling with, to pray with them, to encourage them. And Lord, if maybe we don't know who those people are, open our eyes to those people that are around us right now who need that kind of love shown to them. May we show that kind of love to each other. And Lord, I ask that as we show that kind of love to each other, that it might be a testimony in itself to the world of the truth of who you are and what you've come to do, the truth of your love for each and every one of us. Lord, may we be an example of that love in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.